God's attributes were manifested to his pride in his last day.
Now I want to use this message of understanding the squeeze is to address a misrepresentation of what the entire message believers are presenting. There are two things entire message believers present before the believers of this message brought by the ministry of William Branham. They comfort themselves with one, that our revival is coming. To comfort themselves, to remain dead as they are now. No life in many of them. So the pastor cannot explain why the spirit is not moving as it happened in the ministry of William Branham, the prophet they are following. The only way now they cannot explain it to their members is to come and smartly explain to the members, don't worry, our revival is coming. The bright revival is coming. There is no special revival anymore coming from anywhere. The revival is already on. And the third thing I want to make clear to everyone is that a Holy Ghost filled, predestinated, eternally secured child of God, born again, can face trials, difficulties, persecution, frustrations, and it will be the will of God for you. Hallelujah. Amen. At the end of today, there is one prayer point I'm going to leave in your hearts. And that prayer point is in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. Let's stand up and we read it together. We always make that statement at the end of every service, at the end of every program. But let's let it be impressed in our hearts with a proper understanding today. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. Everybody, let's share the grace. The grace. Did you say it? You're always saying it. You're always saying it. Let's share the grace again. The church will say, sit down. This time you are not sharing grace to go home. Praise God. You know, sometimes we don't get to see the import of certain statements made in the scriptures. When he said the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The grace of God. That word is a compound word that embraces so many things when you come to Christ. That grace of God embraces so many things. One of that grace, amen, it's a grace that not too many people understand, but you must understand. Hallelujah. And so we want to look at a topic that I titled Understanding the Squeeze. Understanding the Squeeze. Squeeze. You know how to squeeze something? Squeeze something you don't like. Squeeze something to change the appearance. Understanding the squeeze. Praise the Lord. And I want to use this opportunity to make some clarifications, to make us understand three things. to correct some impression that will help us. Three things before us now. The first thing I want to correct, amen, is the impression given, or the what is on the air now, about this law the government enacted recently called the KAMA. Listen very well. The Nigerian government enacted a law to put a tighter, closer regulation on the church or churches. And one of the regulations they have enacted is that the leadership of the church is subject to change by the government. The trustee of any church, the government can wake up for any reason they will give and change them, and they have the power to appoint new trustees. And so everywhere now, the first person that reacted was Oyedepo. And then others are talking. Christian Association of Nigeria are now talking, and that is what is going on. And it's been on for some time, and many people have sent this post and calling me, what is your comment about it? I say, what do you want me to comment? Listen very well. Now, why I'm making a comment concerning it now, it's not because I want anybody to hear me. I want you people to know that what is going on is not part of the squeeze on the church by the Antichrist. It's not. What is happening in Nigeria is nothing strange. The same regulation is in all other countries where these same Nigerian churches have their branches. The only reason why they are making noise over it is because it is going to check the excesses of church leaders in Nigeria. That law has nothing to do with your worship. Is somebody understanding me? There is nothing in the Bible called trustee. Trustee come about because the government gave you registration and gave you certificate to gather, and they have the organizational procedures. You must have people they will hold should anything happen, because people are coming and you are going to collect money and they are going to acquire property and things like that. There must be a body that will be in charge of it. They are not going to appoint the preachers. They have nothing to do with the fivefold ministry. All they are telling you is regulating. They are not even giving you certificate to preach in Nigeria. In America, you need a certificate to preach. And in some other countries, you need a certificate to preach. Listen, church. Amen. I responded to one of the groups. I told them, and I'm telling the whole world now, listen very well. Praise God. There is a scripture, 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 14. Listen, Christians, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the spirit of glory and of God rested upon you. On their part, those who are persecuting you, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Verse 15 is my emphasis. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or on as a busybody in other men's matters. This last part, busybody in other men's matters, is what the Christian leaders, some Christian leaders in Nigeria, are guilty of. Our calling is to stay within the boundaries of the preaching of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But many of you have become politicians. Many of you have taken side with opposition against existing government. You stay in your pulpit and you incite the people against the government of the day. You stay in your pulpit because you have lost whatever you are getting from the previous government. A new government comes that does not favor you. You go behind your pulpit and begin to say all manner of inciting things. You have become a politician. They will enter politics with you. One of the politics they do now to catch you, because they know all the things you are doing. They know all the illegal things you are doing. You collect people's money and live on the people's money and refuse to account for it to the government. They have been overlooking and looking at all this nonsense some of you are doing, and now they are now setting a trap now that they will use and check you. Since you decided to join politics, let us do politics. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Take note. Did you hear anybody from Assemblies of God to talking? Do you hear anybody from Four Square talking? Did you hear anybody from Catholic talking? Did you hear anybody from Methodist talking? Did you hear anybody from Presbyterian talking? Their leaders don't talk, because this law that they put is already part of their system in their churches. Nobody remains a leader forever in any of these churches. They are organized with terms. They change the leadership according to their constitution. The only people that are complaining are Pentecostal, one-man family businesses called church. When he dies, he's going to hand over to his son. When he dies, his wife will take over. It's automatic. It's my church. Other people are looking. What are you people saying? Is this strange? It's not strange to all the Orthodox churches. They are organized. Only the Pentecostal churches are complaining. Me here, I am also a Pentecostal church. Hallelujah. But I stay within my calling. I stay within my ministry. Praise the Lord. If the government comes and decide the trustee of the church, to start with the trustee of the church, my wife is not a trustee member of this church. If you remove me, you have not stopped me from preaching. My calling is to preach and not to be trustee. Trustee is not part of my calling. Let them enact any law, it doesn't concern me. Let's stop all this politics, because it has its effect. When those who have power now clamp on you, then you say it is a squeeze. It is not a squeeze. You are suffering for your actions, for your criminality. Let the law of karma stay, so that it will check all of us. Is God using it to bring us back to the preaching of the gospel? Concentrate on what God has called you to do. Leave the rest to God. He will take care of it. Anybody who wants to use his position to scuffle the progress of the church of God, it's not your cause that you cause them from your pulpit that will work. Some of you come behind the pulpit and cause the government and cause all this your cause. What did it produce? Nothing. After cursing them, they came and enacted that law against you. Praise the Lord. I wish some of them can hear this and go to the Lord and ask for mercy. If not, all the kingdom you are building on earth, one day they will come with one paper and sweep it away from your feet. May it not be so, in the name of Jesus Christ. The second thing I want to use this message of understanding the squeeze. That's the topic. Understanding the squeeze is to address a misrepresentation of what the entire message believers are presenting. There are two things entire message believers present before the believers of this message, brought by the ministry of William Branham. They comfort themselves with one, that our revival is coming, to comfort themselves for their inability for to remain dead as they are now. No life in many of them. So the pastor cannot explain why the spirit is not moving as it happened in the ministry of William Branham, the prophet they are following. And they are so the only way now they cannot explain it to their members is to come and smartly explain to the members, don't worry, our revival is coming. The bright revival is coming. We know better. Amen. There is no special revival anymore coming from anywhere. The revival is already on. Well, the second thing, that's not the one I want to talk about. I want to talk about the squeeze. Listen. Now, there is another quote that they are taking and misapplying it. They say that just before the rapture, listen, just before the rapture, that there's going to be a squeeze on the church. Squeeze here is persecution. Squeeze here is trial. That will come on the bride. And when that squeeze comes, he said that will be the period that all barriers will be broken. For now, we believe this way. Another group believes that way. Another one believes this way. There are some people that cannot enter this church. Enter message believers, followers of the ministry of William Branham, I'm referring to. They will not come to this church because women put scarf on their head. And there are some that cannot come here because we worship the African way here. They believe that you should be dancing American way. Worship American way. Some cannot come here because we prophesy. Because they believe that only William Branham can prophesy. And so when the squeeze will come, that is the teaching of the leaders, we shall break all that barrier. Everybody will say, we have a common thing to hold on to. The message, let us be one. Let us be one. I want to tell you that that is a fallacy. And I will prove it. Praise the Lord. And the third thing I want to make clear to everyone is that a Holy Ghost filled, predestinated, eternally secured child of God, born again, can face trials, difficulties, persecution, frustrations, and it will be the will of God for you. So listen very carefully, so that you understand why some, we shall read some scriptures, please. Psalm 30, Psalm 30, verse 5. Listen to the way he puts it. He said, for his anger, that is God's anger, endure but a moment. In his favor is life. This is where I am going. Weeping may endure for how long? A night, but joy cometh in the morning. Weeping may endure for only one night. No matter how that night is, praise God, there is a hope that there will be a morning. After the night, there is a morning. Praise the Lord. And in this mystery of salvation, it's a mystery. Please listen carefully, because you'll understand why we share the grace. So that you will pray that prayer very well. We are called according to his purpose. We are called according to his purpose. He has his agenda. This purpose is God's agenda. God's sovereign program for man on earth. You are called to fulfill that program of God. This program is not our program, it's his program. If you understand that, it will help you. That is why all things work together for good to them who love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28 says so. We are called according to God's purpose. We are not called to fulfill our own purpose. Thy will be done on earth, O Lord, as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Not my will, but thy will be done. If you are going to enjoy working with God, you must catch this revelation so that you will allow your own will to be buried in the will of God. You are the type that will have a fruitful Christian life. Now, see a principle here. Hallelujah. See a principle here. John chapter 12. John 12 verse 24. Listen carefully to what I want to explain. Listen carefully. Verily, verily, certainly, certainly, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. Emphasis, die. If it doesn't die, it abided alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Much fruit. You must die. What the Lord Jesus Christ is bringing out here is a principle for life. It is a principle for life. And this principle for life is both for the church and the church as a body and for the individual Christian. It is a principle for life. Let's look at the church so that you'll understand why I say there is no more squeeze, no squeeze for any church now. Listen, and you will see where the squeeze of the church was. First and foremost, amen. The corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies. Listen, amen. I just pray that somebody, if you don't get it now, go back later, get the tape, get the message and listen. It will help you because whether you understand it or not, you will pass through what I'm teaching now. Whether you understand it or not, you will pass through it because we are ordained to go through that process. For this is the process we will pass through from earth to glory. So understanding it will help you understand why certain things are happening around you, so that, you know, instead of having depression, anxiety and confusion and frustration, you will have reason to say, Father, I thank you. Only give me grace to go through it. Because you know it's going to work out a purpose of God in your life. Now, the church of Jesus Christ started on the day of Pentecost. The church of Jesus Christ was planted on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. That was the inauguration of the church of Jesus Christ on earth. That was the planting of his church on earth. Listen. And that church is likened to a seed that must fall to the ground on earth and die. It must die for life to be produced. That is what Jesus Christ was explaining. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And as soon as the seed, we all know that when a seed falls to the ground, everybody knows it. That seed that you plant, amen. If you go back a few days after you have planted that seed in your farm, some few days after, go back and pick it, you will notice that it is getting rotten. But as long as you don't remove it from there, you keep it still under the ground, God has ordained a life in that seed. Oh, glory be to God. There is a life in that seed that is supposed to reproduce itself. And you plant one, you will plant one seed. Maybe corn. One, just one seed. When it is time for harvest, how many do you harvest? Thousands of them. From that one seed that planted and it died, it must first die. And there is a process it undergoes, which the Lord Jesus Christ was using to help us to understand what his church will go through. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Why? Because there is going to be a principle, a natural principle that will be followed even with the church. And so the dying process of the church began in the first church age. Amen. We have taken this, I'm only making reference for you to understand, because I just want to prove only one point here. I want to prove to you that there will be no more squeeze for any the bride church. We are no more having any squeeze. No squeeze. No squeeze. Because the church has had her squeeze already. It is that squeeze I'm trying to bring out here now. That killing process of the seed of the church that was planted began. That is where you see the four horse riders in Revelation chapter 6. That is where you see the four beasts before the throne of God in Revelation chapter 4. The four horse riders in Revelation chapter 6, we all know that that is the Antichrist movement. That is the Antichrist. Antichrist movement, the gates of hell that was going to disturb the progress of the church. The first thing we see in the first church age, when the church was being planted, it is called the Ephesian church age. In Revelation chapter 2, the church at Ephesus. It is the Ephesian church age. We have gone through all that in our study of the seven church ages. The killing process, it began with the white horse rider. That is the first seal. What was he doing? That was when they started attacking the church. That seed that was planted, the process of killing it began. But while you are killing it, there was a beast in Revelation chapter 4 that was watching over it so that you don't uproot it. Oh, glory be to God. The lion beast in Revelation chapter 4. By the time we come to the next three church ages of Smyrna, Pergamos, and Thyatira, Satan was using the red horse rider. He changed from a white horse to a red horse. That was the period of the persecution of the saints. That was the period of martyrdom. That was the period in church history that for believing Christ and preaching the gospel, you were sentenced to death. Praise the Lord. And that was in the second seal, which is the red horse rider. But even then, that seed, although it was dying, the life that was there was being washed over by that second beast in Revelation chapter 4, the calf. And by the time we come to the Sardisian church age, praise God, it became a black horse. That was a period that the church finally died. What was planted at Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost and the first church age and everything, every light was removed. That was the period that Matthew 13 verse 33 parable, the woman that took the three measures of meal, mixed it with leaven and corrupted the whole meal. Praise the Lord. Justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost, the three works of grace. A woman there is the false church. Under the beast in Revelation chapter 6, appearing as that black horse rider. Praise the Lord. That was the third seal. That was when the seed finally died. Except a corner of wheat fall to the ground and die, the church of Jesus Christ died. Finally, the last blow was given to it in AD 325 in that Nicaea Council meeting. That state and religion, paganism and Christianity, joined themselves together and totally died. But while there, it was in the midst of that darkness, hallelujah, that the revival began for the restoration. Praise God. To fulfill, amen, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16, the Lord himself will descend first with a shout. Fulfilling Matthew chapter 25 and verse 6. At midnight, there was a cry made. The midnight there, the darkest hour of Christianity. And then you begin to see Mark chapter 4 verse 26. You understand that parable I make reference to regularly, because that is the story of the growth of the church. And he says, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. When you have planted it and should sleep, that you go your way and rise night and day, and the seed, hallelujah, the seed should spring and grow up. You don't know what takes place there. You know it not how. Verse 28. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, because there is a law there. What is the first thing that comes out? Now, remember, by the time the blade, you see the blade, amen, the blade comes out because it is now receiving life. No more death. The squeeze is over. That's all I want to emphasize here. It is now time for a revival. Hallelujah. It is now time for revival. Now, no more squeeze. No more persecution. No more killing. No more death. Because you believe Christ. The church of Jesus Christ has finished her persecution that produced total death. Total death. Oh, glory be to God. By the time that Luther came forth, by the time he spring forth, typed by that blade that comes out of the ground, it is freedom from persecution. It is now time for restoration. If you don't come to the Bible, you will use quotes and be confusing yourself and begin to have false hope. Listen, some of us, God has opened our eyes to see what is written in this Bible for the purpose of sharing it with you. Enter message believers, if you follow this process, as we see in the scripture, show me where there will be any squeeze again. No more squeeze. The only squeeze that is left now is the squeeze for the Jews. In the last 3.5 years. And that takes place only after the rapture has taken place. The bride will no more have any squeeze. We have had our own squeeze already. So that you now understand why. Under the fifth seal, Revelation chapter 6 and verse 6. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 6. And I heard in the midst of the four beasts say, that was in the dark ages, under the black horse rider. This was what they were identified with. A measure of wheat for a penny and 3 measures of barley for a penny. You can do all the indulgences and the purgatory and everything you are doing at that time. But he added, and see, thou hot not the oil and the wine. The reason is because there is going to be a revival. Oil and the wine there is a revival. Oil, revelation, that brings excitement. the wine. Amen. And if you don't catch this, church, praise the Lord, you'll be living in your own self-delusion and illusions. Listen very well. Amen. When Luther, before Luther came up, anybody, read church history, all of you, don't read only all this nonsense social news in your Facebook. Go and read something about the history of your faith, so that you'll understand what is going on. Anybody that rose up under the dark ages to preach the Bible, even if they see you with Bible, is death sentence. But when it was time for the blade to spring up, Luther, imagine Luther standing one man against the existing system, the Catholic Church, the Roman Church. But before they will get a hold of him, God raised up, hallelujah, the king of Germany that stood behind him and said, you know, leave him. They began to politicize it. That's why, as Catholicism is in the rest of Europe, that is how Lutherans are in Germany till today. The king held him and said, don't touch him. What this man is saying looks as if it's true. Protected him. It was not the king, it was God. Hallelujah. That protected that revival. From there, the team began to move up to John Wesley's sanctification. It began to move up again. All that were destroyed were beginning to be restored one after the other until 1906. When God used another man by the name of William Seymour. Hallelujah. Raise him up and restore that fire again of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the operations of the gift in the church that died for 1,000 years. 1,000 years is the weeping that endured for a night. But there will be a revival, a restoration again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And I take note of something I just noted as I was reading that. I noticed that that statement is written in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 6, correct? Again, let's read it. Revelation chapter 6, verse 6. Eh? What did he say? He said, and see, the last statement, thou hot not the oil and the wine. Listen, church. It is Revelation chapter 6, verse 6. Listen. The Antichrist is 666. But the bride of Jesus Christ is only 66. The third 6 is not there. Because we are not going to be part of 666. We will only be part of 6 verse 6. We will not be part of 666. The remaining, the third 6 is for Israel. Whether you understand it or not, it is thus said the word of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Therefore, amen. Listen, I have settled that. No, no squeeze again for us, but as a church, but for the individual, we as individual, hallelujah, there is a squeeze for us. And that's what I want to go to now. The Bible says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Hallelujah. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming unto the Father but by me. If Jesus said, I am the way, then listen, we are called to conform to his image. Is that what the Bible says? We are called to conform to his image. Allow me, for the purpose of emphasis, to sing that song. I think that song is hymn number 67. to be like Jesus. I want you to stand up and sing it with me.
To be like Jesus.